We talked to you about persistence for a couple weeks. Tonight I thought I would talk to you about a different topic. It's an important topic. It's what makes worship worship. It's what makes Christianity not a religion, but a relationship, and that's intimacy with God. And I just kind of put a few questions here to start, you know, to set the stage for the word tonight. Are you feeling overwhelmed with all that lies ahead in your life? Do you have uncertainties about your job or your family, different relationships you have? Are you fearful of unknowns in our world today, which, you know, there's a lot of unknowns. There's news reports of things all over the world, and it's just never ending. You know, who's going to win the elections? Will the president be impeached? Will our government collapse? Will the economy collapse? Will we lose more of our freedoms? Will the immorality that we see that's just rampant and being embraced by society, will it increase? Well, you know, I've got good news for you. The Lord wants you and I to focus not on those things, not to look at the mountains in this life, but just to look to Him, the author and the finisher of our faith. You know, and as we do that and we focus on the one thing, you know, what's important? Intimacy with God. What's important? Being in His presence, hearing His word. And so it's the one thing. The Lord wants us to focus on the one thing, to be intimate with Him, to be getting ever closer to Him. And so what I want to do is go to Luke chapter 10, beginning with verse 38, a familiar story to probably everyone, but just to be a reminder of how important this is. It says in verse 38 of Luke chapter 10, "Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore tell her to help me.' And Jesus answered and said to her, 'Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her.'" I'm going to tell you, as a pastor who leads a church which needs people to serve, we don't have enough people serving. We need more. You know, we need to have more volunteers in various areas. And so I'm not going to say service is unimportant. But when service becomes our focus and everything is about service, about working, and we're not spending time with Jesus, then it's out of kilter. Jesus said there's one thing that's necessary. Service is good. Service is important. And we've talked about the importance of works. We're created for works of service. But those works of service have to come out of our love for God. They got to come out of intimacy with God, with a relationship with the Lord. Because if we're doing the works for the work's sake, to impress God, and we're all doing that, then it's religion and not a relationship. When you're in a relationship with someone and you love them a lot, out of that love, you'll go out of your way to do things for them. You know, you're looking at opportunities to be a blessing to them, to show them, you know, your love. But you want to spend time with them more than anything else. I mean, how many of you, you know, as you went through your relationship with someone that you loved, from time to time, would just say, "Thank you for that gift. You know, I really appreciate that gift." But really, it's just spending time with you that matters. How many Hallmark movies? How many stories, motion pictures, novels have been written where you see a storyline, television shows, where the storyline is somebody's working hard, often the dad is out there working so hard, doing everything, and he says something like, I'm doing it all for you, to his family. I'm doing this all for you. All this work, all this business is to give to you someday. And it's always, you know, then answered, I don't care about any of that. I just want time with you. You know, that's a Martha lifestyle. And I don't want anybody in here to be Martha's. I want people to serve. But I want it to come as a result of your intimacy with God, your relationship with the Lord. And when it comes out of that, then there's a joy in that work and a joy in that service to where you won't become weary with it, you know. He'll be fueled by that. You know, over the years, I've discovered, you know, and maybe you have too, that things that you've done for the Lord, that you've been given to do, maybe an assignment in the church, in the ministry that you volunteered for, or you were recruited for, and you just had joy in doing it. You know, it just came. It was easy. It was a delight. But the same thing at home is not. You know, you mow the lawn for the church. You know, and you could push one of those lawnmowers that are, you know, the turning lawnmower without an engine, and just push that and do 5 acres and just be singing and praising the Lord when it comes out of that intimacy with God. And you just have joy and just have fellowship with the Lord while you're doing it. You'll go home and have a top-of-the-line, zero-turn radius lawnmower that's got a deck so wide that you can cut your lawn in 2 paths. But it's like, oh, I got to cut the lawn again. You know, it's work. It's the drudgery. But when it comes out of intimacy with God, it's service. But when you switch over from that intimacy, doing what Mary did, hearing the word of the Lord and being in his presence first, Mary was not lazy, but she knew what the most important thing was. And there was a time to serve, a time to be doing things, but that wasn't the time. It was time to be in the presence of the Lord. He was there. He was declaring his word. And that's what mattered. And so she was there. And Jesus said, that one thing is what really mattered in that moment at that time. And when that was done, then Mary would be doing whatever she did. And Martha could have had the same opportunity. But what motivated Martha wasn't just, it wasn't a desire for God to do it. It says you're worried about many things. She was so caught up in perfectionist tendencies that everything's got to be done, everything's got to be done just right, that caused her to neglect the Lord. What good is it going to do? If you're not close to God, it's just empty works. The Bible says that someday in the future, we sang about, you know, the Lord coming, and we're declaring the, you know, just like Elijah declared the Lord coming. Ezekiel declared the Lord coming. You know, John the Baptist was yelling, you know, in the spirit of Elijah, prepare the way of the Lord, behold, the Lord comes. And we're doing that today as we're looking for him to come again. And that's going to happen. And so we want to be right with God. We want to be close to God. We want to be in an intimate relationship with the Lord and ready for him to come and not distracted and busy with works of service. You know, it's so important. And that's the difference, again, between religion and relationship. And around here, we're all for opportunities to get connected. But I would rather see you passionate about Jesus before anything else. And then I know when we're all passionate about Jesus, everything else will fall into place. Getting things done. But Martha, she was anxious and worried about things. You know, and that was a distraction. and it took her out of the time. So she didn't have energy. It was draining her. She was weary with her well-doing and tried to get the Lord to stamp his approval on that activity and that motivation, and in a gentle way. You didn't hear a rebuke, but a gentle correction to get Martha to turn from something that you know, it's nice to try to prepare everything, get everything just right, but to get her focus turned from that to him. So gently he says, Martha, Martha, you know, you worry about so much. But there's one thing important, and Mary chose the one thing. She chose what was most important in this moment. And Jesus is saying the same thing to us today. That if we're so occupied with all of the things, whether it's works of service for the Lord or whether it's the busyness of life, all of that work, all of that activity, all of that energy expended at the expense of spending quality time with the Lord, it's wasted. And I started to say we were singing about prepare the way of the Lord. And so here we're singing that. And the scripture says that we're going to go before the Lord and he'll look at these works that we're created to do, works of service. So they do have a place. But he says that the things that don't come from that heart, they're going to be burnt up like wood, hay, and stubble. And so what comes out of the pure heart, that's the gold and the silver and the bronze and the gems that will come through the fire. But everything that's of us and not of him and for him and his glory, it's burnt up anyway. And so, Ray, don't neglect the one thing, the most important thing. Spend time with me. You know, put your name there instead of Martha. And hear the gentle call of God to say, choose what's important. Choose me, that time with me, because he chose us. Amen. You know, over the years, I've heard preachers say it, you know, and it doesn't say it in the Bible, so I can't say the Lord says it, but I could sure, knowing how much God loves us, that I get why they say it. I wouldn't be surprised if it was the case, but that Jesus would have went through everything he did just for you, if you were the only one, the only person that needed salvation, the only lost one out there, the one sheep that was gone, that he would have paid all that price just for you. He didn't, you know, he doesn't come across as an attitude of, well, it's worth it for this many. You know, we hear of, Jesus said, there's no greater love than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. One friend, we hear stories of somebody who, you know, pushes someone out of the way of an oncoming car or something, and ends up dying. You know, I've told the story over the years of the, I used to love this TV show called Rescue 911, you know, back in with William Shatner hosting it, and they did these reenactments of actual 911 calls, and one of them, you know, that was so powerful was when a man went into a river and held a child up in this, you know, how flash floods happen. The child got caught in the river. He grabbed hold of the child and held them up until somebody could rescue, and drowned in the process of holding that baby up above the water. And there's no greater love than someone to lay down his life for a friend. You know, an African-American man just driving by, hearing a call, and running down to the river to save a child that was in that river. I think he was a telephone repairman or a line person or something. And it was just so powerful, and it still touches me to remember it to this day. And so I get that Jesus would do that because you're his friend. He would be willing to do it. We honor that. And so What he's calling us to do is recognize how important it is to spend time with him. Isn't he worth it? To just, you know, just have time in his presence, seeking him, feeding on his word, which is his way, his primary way of talking to you. You know, I thank God for the Holy Spirit, the inward witness of the Spirit, and for the voice of God, that it's not like words that, you know, you hear him do it, but it's so real sometimes that he says, just turn this direction, or do this thing, or tell that person I love you. It's a knowing that he's saying that to you, you know, that he speaks to you and points someone out or something out to do. And it's so beautiful to be able to hear that and obey that. And I've seen such amazing things. People that I would pick up on the road and minister to, or go another direction and do something different and be in the right place at the right time to have a God encounter with somebody and witness to them and share the love of the Lord. And a number of times over the years, God just telling me to tell somebody he loved them. You know, so maybe this might sound weird to you, but I feel like God wanted me to come up and tell you he loves you. And I love you too. And just see people just absolutely, you know, just open up and tell you their story. And sometimes it was, their story was, I was about to end everything. And then it was like, God, if you're there, you know, because I can't take anymore. And then here I am. And he says to do that. And I tell you, inside of my flesh, fear, trembling, you know, this person can't think I'm crazy, you know, what am I going to do? But in obeying him, I've seen that time and time again. I thank God for that voice, but his primary way of speaking to us is his word. We can read the Bible and every time hear the voice of the Lord. You know, you're not, you know, I have had people that tell me that all the time they're saying, the Lord said, the Lord said, the Lord said. And if you notice, I'm your pastor. I've been in the ministry for over 3.5 decades. And you don't hear me saying all the time, Jesus said, the Lord said, the Lord said. Because if the Lord tells me to say something, I often will say something to somebody knowing the Lord said to say something or to do something and not say it like that. And because it was his words, there was power. It did what it needed to do. And so so I don't do that a lot. And he doesn't talk to me as often as he does to these people that are all the time saying, the Lord said, the Lord said. And a lot of the ones that the Lord said, the Lord said, the Lord said, it's them saying. It's their soul, their emotional makeup that are doing it. I've heard people that use that as a means to control other people. One guy, you know, says, I'm supposed to write a book. Well, he'd been telling his wife, I'm supposed to write a book for years. She let him, you know, and they weren't real well off, let him get a word processor when word processors first came out, and so they weren't cheap. If you think about them now, and they were, they're just a glorified typewriter, and it's time. You know, I had a typewriter / word processor and typed a lot of sermons on it and did everything. But he got a word processor and, you know, and different things, you know, and all of this to do it. And this book never came. So then he's like, well, I believe the Lord said that I'm to remodel the attic and, you know, renovate the whole thing and just paid thousands of dollars to have it done. Never to write the book. But put his office up there. It's the upper room. The Lord says, you'll write my book here, and I'll do it. It was, you know, and that's what people do. I've heard, you know, them come up and tell other believers, you know, I don't put the call of God on people's lives. The Holy Spirit's the one who calls. I may confirm a call when somebody says something, say, I bear witness with that. But I don't go up to teenagers that I may sense the call and say, I believe I declare you're to be a minister of the gospel. You need to get your focus on that. Go to Bible school and everything. I may see the call of God on their life. I may discern that. I may sense that. I may have a witness in my spirit or even a word of knowledge about it. But if he doesn't give that for me to share, I don't do that sort of thing with people. So it's nice, and I love hearing the voice of God, but it's not to the degree what some people call it. The primary way that God speaks to you is his word. It will come alive. If you have a hunger when you read the Bible, it's like the words lift off the page. You know, the verses, they just stand out, you know, and it's the Holy Spirit, just his power, because his words are life. And so this is the primary way to be able to spend time with God, to hear his voice, and you can pray his word. The way you become intimate with someone, close to someone, I don't mean in a physically intimate way, that's just one part of intimacy, but in a close, intimate relationship on every level with somebody, it happens over time as you're getting to know them. You know, you're getting to know what's their favorite color. You know, you're dating, what's your favorite color, what's your favorite song, what's your favorite this, that, and the other. You're going out of your way to, you know, give place to them, do things with them, watch what they want to watch and all. You know, to prefer them, you know, to honor them. And that intimacy gets stronger. And as you get to know one another, the next thing you know it, you're thinking alike. You know, my wife and I, she doesn't have to get my okay to give even a sacrificially large offering or blessing for people. She does that. She does the finances at home. And so I only have to get her permission, just because I don't know, we don't do credit cards and things, and I wouldn't be abusing credit anyway. So I just have to get her permission, like, can I get gas or can I do this, just because to make sure there's some money in the checking account, because it's going to come out straight from the debit card right out of the checking account. It's not getting her permission to do something. It just is the money available, because we know each other. And if I have on my heart to bless somebody to do something, just because she does the finances, I might say, I feel led to give somebody, you know, $25 or do $50 or do something, get them some dinner or whatever it might be. And is it okay? Do we have the funds to be able to do that? You know, because she has things where some things come out automatic, and once in a while she'll tell me if I'm going to do something, say, well, you know, it's not a good time to, if I'm asking, can I go by and pick up some fast food, you know, or something like that. We don't eat out a lot, but I might, you know, it's rare, but I might say something like, can I, you know, run by, you want some shakes or something? Say, no, it's not a good time. And I'll do accordingly. But we both we do that. We know what, we just think alike. Our hearts are in sync. And, you know, you hear people say we can finish each other's sentences. You know, certain things that I like. It's funny because, you know, Chris, he's got the Disney Plus started yesterday. And, you know, and so he's just in awe of all the new things that he can watch. And I know Pastor Lisa, and there's some things that are just more of a guy thing, a teenage kind of thing. I know she's not going to enjoy it. I know she's not going to want to see that. And he'll turn something on, and she's, you know, it's just like she's not concerned. But he doesn't get that. I know you shouldn't be turning that on. I know someday you're going to turn that on, and she's just going to tell you, turn that off and don't turn it on again. Leave it on. You know, it's like, you know, just that's not her thing. You're not going to watch that and her enjoy it. And he'll want her to, you know, hey, do that. But it's not intimacy at real closeness. And he's learning it more and more. Is getting to know that person, that other person, and giving place to them. See, Jesus knows us. He knows us better, really, than we know ourselves. But for us to get to know Jesus and then desire to do what he wants, you know, where when at different times, sometimes she'll turn something on when we're relaxing, sort of semi-relaxing. Sometimes we're both working on a tablet or a computer, and we might turn on a TV show and be relaxing, you know, in the evening and just work through while that's on. Sometimes I'm just pure relaxing. Not often, but usually multitask. But she'll turn something on, and I'm not totally interested in that particular thing. And I'll turn on, I like to watch old 50s and 60s television show or something like that. And I've been watching The Saint, you know, and I've watched Perry Mason's and Wyatt Earp's and things, you know. She's not interested in any of those things. So in a time like that, that's something I turn on. But when we're sitting there together and just going to turn something on, I don't turn that stuff on. We watch Hallmark movies. I have seen so many Christmas movies, and I love it. I like to just be with her, engaged with her, and just do that, and or some episode, different kind of episodic shows like she'd put on, like the Building Off the Grid, you know, the show she likes to watch, and I'll watch it, and she just watches this show about these quintuplets, and, you know, and sometimes that's when I might turn one of my episodes on. Sometimes I'll just tune in, but I'll give place to her. But, you know, she does the same for me. You know, I have not had the remote control. And how many of you know it's a guy thing and it's the head of the household thing to dominate? I have not had the remote control for years. I've given that place to, and Lisa and Chris will watch stuff. And but sometimes she'll turn on a Western. And sometimes she'll find, you know, and it's kind of this neat, happy medium. Because she's discovered, like, When Calls the Heart, and I really like that. Because it's like Western, Canadian Mountie and stuff, but it's like the West. And she'll find something, but she's, you know, Sarah Plain and Tall or, you know, something like that. She'll find a Western on the Hallmark Channel or something, and, you know, and I really enjoy that. But there'll be times she's just turned on a Western or even an old war movie, not particularly her thing, just because she knows it's something that I might watch. And I'll just set down what I'm working on, just put my tablet down and enjoy that. We give place to one another. She knows what I like. I know what she likes. It's always a learning process, always learning new things. Sometimes tastes change. And what she used to like, she doesn't anymore. And you know, when you do something and your spouse says, I haven't liked that for a long time. You know, it's like, I'll go through a stage where once in a while if we eat breakfast, we're not big breakfast people, but for a stage I went through a long time, scrambled eggs. Part of why I did that was scrambled eggs is easier than her having to make, you know, over easy eggs and try to keep it hot and do all that. And I just was like, scrambled eggs is good for me, and she makes them real good. But I got to a point, and then she'd still make some eggs anyway. But I got to a point where just like, I don't want scrambled eggs. I'll take over easy eggs too. And if she didn't know that my preference changed like that, then, you know, if I was to say, well, I haven't liked scrambled eggs for a while, you know, it's like, oh man, we must be disconnected, you know, in some way. Well, that's what it is. We become a Martha in a sense. We're so busy with our own effort, our own activity, our own focus and interest on in busyness than keeping up to date with someone else. How many of you ever done that? You ever go through stages like, you know, I might like to watch Westerns, and then I like to watch the mysteries. You know, I watched Wyatt Earp, I watched the Jim Bowie series and the Tombstone series, really enjoyed Westerns primarily, and then I watched the Perry Mason and got kind of interested in the more, and I love the Hallmark mysteries, that's my favorite on the Hallmark stuff. Enjoy watching all the Christmas movies. Well, the Christmas movies are on all three Hallmark channels, they're on the Mystery Channel too, so seeing a lot of that. But that's what got me into Perry Mason and the other. See, interests can change. Intimacy is keeping aware, keeping connected. You know, God doesn't change, but what his desire is for you and what he would have you doing, that does change. He told Abraham, I want you to pack up, get all your stuff together, and then go to a land that I will show you. You know, and you get this sense that God says, just first thing was the obedience of being willing to just leave his family, his land, and you know, all of that, and just pack up and get things mobile, and then just go the direction God said. And, you know, and then God just ordered his steps. Children of Israel, you know, their journey should not have lasted that long across the Sinai Peninsula, less than a month, but it became 40 years. But even that 40 years, there was a time to stay, and there was a time to move. And you move where he had you moving, when he had you moving, and you stayed still, when he had you staying still, no matter what you thought was best. And so God's instructions to us, what he wants for us and from us, it changes. God loves you and I just the way we are. But he loves us so much, he doesn't want us to remain the way we are. And if we, and that's an attitude, and that's where people are really messing up in relationship with God and getting into all kinds of influence of unbiblical beliefs, embracing things, and falling into sin and error and everything else. Because when you get an attitude, well, God loves you just the way you are. You know, and you don't have to do anything. Well, he does love you, and there's nothing you can do to get saved, but he doesn't want to leave you the way he found you. You know, if you found an animal that was starving, and it was hair was all gnatted up, and, you know, and there was burrs in it and all the different things, would you just take that animal and just say, okay, I'm going to adopt that animal and I'm going to just leave it just the way it is? Or would you begin to cut the, you know, try to get them out and cut the hair away and, you know, and let it start to grow, bathe it, cleanse it, you know, put salve on its wounds, feed it. You love it the way it is, but you love it so much you don't want it to stay the way it is. And that's what the way it is with God. He loves us, but he doesn't want us to remain where we are. And so so he is always giving you more insight, more revelation of how you should grow, allowing him to mold you and make you into his image. That only comes from intimacy. Because you get the choice. Just like you chose to serve him or to be saved, you choose to serve him. You know, everything the Lord does. I remember Jim Caseman one time. He was saying that he was looking, you know, for a property. Felt God leading him to get a property. And he was out and just looking and all of his effort and everything. And he was weary, look at one thing after another, and just like didn't feel any peace of God on it. And he was tired, and it was just a couple of days. And he went to the hotel room. And he had some food, and he just felt like he was going to pour himself into the bed and just eat something and sleep. He says he felt like the Holy Spirit saying, would you mind skipping a meal for me? Would you mind skipping? God. And Jim tells the story, and it's like, what are you going to say? No, God, I'm hungry, and I'm tired. You know, but would you mind skipping a meal and just spending time with me? He set aside the food and didn't just lay in the bed and relax, but got before the Lord and began to just seek Him and pray. And God was able to just move into that situation and then caused him to open up realty, I forget what you call it, like a trade realty thing, and there it was, the property. And that came out of that, but the Lord's saying, would you mind skipping meal? Because you have a choice. When I have felt like turn right instead of turn left, like you would normally go, I have a choice to obey that or not. Let me tell you, I haven't always obeyed. I had a time where, to drive to our church in Illinois from where we live was about 15, 20 minutes or so. And I was going out of my house, and I always, because I was parked outside, let Lisa park in the garage, and I always kept my car outside. And so I didn't go out the garage, open the door, and then have to close the door to go out to get to my car. We had a split foyer house. I would just, go down the first, because the stairs went like this. I just go down and then off the front porch into my car. But I went down through our bedroom, went out the garage, and as I walked by my toolbox, it just like I felt like you should take your tools. I don't need my tools today. I had my dress slacks on, shirt, tie. I'm going to work at the church in the office. I'm not doing a physical work day. I did a lot of physical work out there, but it was like I got office stuff to do. I just ignored that prompting. So I walked by the toolbox, and a clue should have been, why am I going through the garage in the first place? Well, just the Lord, get me to do something different. There he points out this toolbox. I get to the church, and sure enough, plumbing emergency, needed my tools, had to drive all the way across town, get those tools, and then drive all the way back and, be able to deal with the thing. And it just cost me more time. When if I would have just listened. So we can miss it, but the more we're intimate with God, he can lead us and give us instruction. Okay, now, in Psalm 27, it says this, one thing I have desired of the Lord, Psalm 27, 4, if I didn't say 4, one thing I've desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. The psalmist, his heart's desire was just to be in the house of God, just to be, in the presence of the Lord, hearing God's word, in that atmosphere of worship, being close to God. He says, the one thing I have desired of the Lord, that one thing that I'll seek, is for the opportunity to dwell in the house of the Lord, not in the castle, not in the throne room, not in all of the prestige and the power. I just want to be in the house of the Lord. You wonder, to behold his beauty, to inquire in his temple, be seeking him in prayer. You wonder why God called him a man after his own heart. And then drop down verse 8, and it says, when you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. So God is calling us today, seek my face. Put your name on it, Martha, Martha, blank, blank. You're so busy, but there's one thing I want you to do. One thing. Just be in my presence, seek my face. There's no way I could articulate the words of how much God wants intimacy with us. And I can tell you, I don't care who you are on this earth, he wants more. I don't think any of us are living up to his best desire for us. We should be striving to be as close to God as we can. We have to live our lives. We have to have, jobs and things like that, responsibilities, families and you know, and things like that. And he understands that. But how much more is it then important to prioritize some time with him and not give him the leftover, if there is any leftover? How many of you can raise your hand? Because I can put my hand up and say, I've allowed myself at times to get so busy doing things that I haven't had quality time with him at all in a given day. Mm-hmm. That's not his heart's desire. So you hear him saying, seek my face. And our response should be from our heart. My heart said to you, your face, Lord, will I seek. That's what you want. Jesus said, this one thing's important. On second thought, Lord, that's what I'm going to do. Yeah, I thought I was going to go watch Frozen 2. You know, on second thought, Lord, there's this opportunity to be able to spend some time with you. I'm going to do that. Intimacy with God is our primary purpose for living. He said that if we don't worship him, if we're not intimate with him, praising him, worship him, very rocks would cry out. So the very creation itself is for his glory. And we are the apex of his creation. And so you know, and we are the one part of his creation out of all the living beings that have a soul, have a conscience, awareness. Animals don't have that. They live to the glory of God. They're his creation and everything. But we have a soul, we have thoughts, we have a choice, and we have to choose him. And so we're created, though, for that intimacy. Yeah, I remember that old Ray Bolt song, I Miss My Time With You. Man, you know, just you could hear the passion in those words. You know, he felt like the Lord saying to him, I miss my time with you. You're so busy trying to serve me. You know, we need that time with God. It's our primary purpose. It's the only thing we can't that can't change or be taken away from us. You can have everything in every material possession, everything. Look at Job's life. You have everything taken away. But the one thing that can't be taken away with you is your intimate relationship with the Lord. You can look at the martyrs in Fox's Book of Martyrs, from the New Testament saints that we read about, like Stephen and others, you know, apostles that were martyred for the Lord, for their faith in the Lord. The Crusades, the persecutions in the Colosseum and everything that went on, where so many Christians were slaughtered, and you couldn't take away their intimacy. You could take away their freedom, you could take away their possessions, but you couldn't take away their intimacy. And that intimacy in these last days, during these days of deception and darkness in this world, that intimacy will be the thing that will keep you in these last days from deception. Because, man, there's a lot of false teaching. Not only ministers, but whole entire denominations departing from long-standing belief and adherence to biblical truths, and departing from that and becoming just embracing of the world's ways, you know, and not the authority of the Word. And that's what the Bible said the last days would be like. Daniel said that even when things seem out of control all around us, that people who know their God, that means intimately know him, not know about God with a head knowledge, but know their God with an intimate heart relationship, they'll stand strong. And just because I just realized it's 8:03, let me read Daniel where he's saying that. And this is talking about Antiochus Epiphanes and everything in Daniel chapter 11, verse 32. It says, those who do wickedly against the covenant, it was talking about Antiochus Epiphanes, this prophecy was of what was going to be coming, that destruction. He shall corrupt them with flattery. those who do wickedly against the covenant. They'll be influenced and be corrupted by the flattery and embrace this false leader who's going to come in and ultimately desecrate the temple of God. He was the one who brought in the sacrifice, the abomination of desolation. That's a prophetic type of what's going to happen in the tribulation period. But the second half of that says, but the people who know their God in all of this difficult challenge and what's going on, the people amongst those people that know their God, that intimately know their God, shall be strong and they'll carry out great exploits. And so I take you back to there was judgment and war and battle and tragedy that was happening, the destruction of Jerusalem, their country falling apart. In the time of the New Testament, where I referred to Fox's Book of Martyrs and the martyrs of the church, the people who laid down their life and would not reject the Lord. If you ever read that book, I have said it, Linda and Jane can tell you, I've been saying for people to read that book on occasion. I read that from time to time throughout my life. I've read certain books over and over through the years. And Fox's Book of Martyrs is a book that should be read once in a while. And some people, all the times I've said it, have never read it. And you won't be challenged by the witness of these people's lives. But when you see what they were able to do and the radiance as they just looked on the Lord and refused to deny God and were tortured and martyred in such a horrible way, and yet radiance and power, that came from an intimate relationship with God. Just one, I've referred to this one because it's one of the ones that jump out, just like I tell you about that Rescue 911 story, that one thing. There's so much heroism on that show, but that one really stands out. One of the martyrs, have you ever heard the term death by a thousand cuts? Death by a thousand cuts is one of the sayings that we have. A lot of times we use it as a metaphor, saying death by a thousand cuts, saying a thousand negative statements, so just death. But that etymology of that word, death by a thousand cuts, comes from one of the ways people were martyred. They would be sliced over and over and just in just torturous pain, deep slicing them open and bleed to death. And one of the people who was going through that kept with every cut, will you deny the Lord now? Will you deny Jesus now? And and he said no after many cuts and said, with every cut that you cut into my body, it is one more mouth that is opened to praise my Lord. That is such a powerful, powerful thing. There are so many stories. Those stories is a strength like what you see in Daniel in the most difficult time in life. That intimate relationship with God can take you through the most challenging circumstance. And thank God none of us are facing anything on the level of what they faced. But could we? We struggle to face somebody, you know, not wanting to be our friend at work, at school. Intimacy with God will give you a strength that you didn't, that is beyond you. And I've got to stop for tonight. But God's calling us. He's saying, seek my face. And we need to respond from our heart, yes, Lord, I will seek your face. I will seek you. Father, thank you for calling us to that deeper relationship with you, that you love us just the way we are right here tonight, but you love us enough to want to be closer to us tomorrow than you are with us today. For us to be closer to you tomorrow than we are today, and closer next week than we were last week. That you are always in a process of leading us. That we move forward and we may stop, we may serve you for a period, And then you call us to the next thing. And we serve you and we obey in that. You call us to the next thing. Deeper and deeper in our relationship with you. In our knowing who you are and your will. And so with our heart we say, yes, Lord. We will seek your face. We want to know God in the deepest way possible. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.